everyone. So this is plus 90 back today, and Kemal is back from his interview. And Kemal, do you want to share the news?
Oh yeah. So if anyone hasn't heard so far, I feel like most of my friends already know because I've messaged them. I got a job, which is great because it just takes so much weight off my back, and you know, it's a job that I really wanna do, so I'm really happy about it. And yeah, I'm back, you know. So when I was listening last week, I was actually in the hotel waiting for my on-site interview, you know, right before my on-site interview, and I got that job. So maybe it was your good luck, you know, Victor Tussauds.
Yeah, maybe.
And this week we have Dan Hui, and she's going to introduce herself.
Yeah, hi everyone. I'm Dan Hui. I'm a junior Kanmin International Studies student, and today I'm going to introduce you to some Chinese songs. There's something interesting about this pop star that I'm going to introduce to you. I'm mainly going to focus on Wang Lihong.
So Lihong is Lihong is actually American. He's a Taiwanese American from Rochester, New York. The funny thing about him is that he did not really speak Chinese until like when he was a teenager.
Oh,
he went
wow.
back to Taiwan to visit his grandparents, and then from there he realized how beautiful Chinese can be when you make it to songs. And yeah, he was actually
That's
in Williams
crazy.
College, and then while he was in Williams College, he went to Taiwan and discovered. A record company discovered his talent, and they started making a record, and he became more and more popular. And then later on, he got into Berklee College of Music, which
Whoa.
Is awesome.
That
and
is
yeah,
awesome.
He's very, very popular in China, but I feel like in America, not many people know about him. So whenever, actually, when I hear someone from my class or from Lafayette saying they are from Rochester, I always ask them, oh, do you know this really famous Chinese pop star?
They probably don't.
Yeah, they don't know about him. So, and also one of the missions that Lihong always has is to promote Chinese music to the world. So I feel like I want to introduce this person to everyone. And he has been famous for so many like 2 decades, so I feel like it's great to show his songs from different time period and see how his style is like.
That's amazing.
That's really exciting actually, because previously we've never had a show where we like focused on an artist. You know, this is a really nice one actually. Oh, actually last week you did
I did mine.
So
yeah.
You did the first one, then this is going to be the second one.
Okay.
But yeah, you know, that's really awesome. And let me see. Okay, I'm not sure, but like we're having a little bit of a microphone problem, so I'm gonna fix that while we play the first song. But before that,
you're listening to
W
J
R
H
104.9
FM
Lafayette College Radio,
Eastern Pennsylvania.
Perfect. we need to get back into sync.
Yeah. Right, this is like our joint episode after like 2 weeks of it being like done primarily by me. So yeah, we're gonna get back into it. Okay, so what was the name of the first song? You can say it in Chinese too.
Oh, it's Gong Zhuan Zi Zhuan, but in English it means Earth's rotation and self-rotation.
Okay, like wow, that sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, his songs are mostly about love, so you get the hang of it.
Okay, yeah, we can talk about the meaning of the song like when it ends. So.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready to play it?
Yep.
Okay, okay, let me turn up the microphones.
Oh, 说你是我的太阳，但是你对我来说真的有如此大的影响，心情有黑夜白天之差，爱是这么自然，衍生出丰富感想，我像地球一样，你在我心思中央，
我绕着你打转，一圈一圈公转，在人与人的银河，爱让我不间断，我因为你而转，一圈一圈自转， Oh baby， 我的世界明暗，因为思念释然。
这样的形容有一些简单俗套，我想我说你是我的太阳，但是你对我来说真的有如此大的影响，心情有黑夜白天之差，爱是这么自然，衍生出丰富感想，我像地球一样，你在我心思中央，
我绕着你打转，一圈一圈公转，在人与人的银河，爱让我不间断，我因为你而转，一圈一圈自转， Oh baby， 我的世界明暗，因为思念释然，想你就是神话，
我知道，
但我却天真盼望，
我想吧，
我绕着你打转，一圈一圈公转，在人与人的银河，爱让我不见
So just now you have heard Earth's Rotation, Self-Rotation. It's about, it's a song about love, and it was from 2002. Actually, never mind, 1998. And that's kind of like the beginning of Lee Hom's career. It was from Taiwan.
So how old is he now?
He was 22 years old. Yeah, basically
like
fresh out of college.
Okay, so he must be like 40-something?
Oh, now he's like 40, yeah. But he looks the same.
He's still just as handsome.
Young and handsome. Yeah, 2 years ago I went to his concert actually in Beijing.
Oh, damn.
It was a stadium that contained 80,000 people.
Okay. 80,000 people.
Yeah, and I just bought like two cheap tickets on the bleachers.
But how would it feel like if you were on the stage and 80,000 people are listening to you? How would you?
Oh my god. Yeah, I could only imagine.
I would probably just like shake.
But I'm sure
for like 15 seconds, then I would run off the stage.
Live from WJRH. Radio Kimo's shaking right now.
But I'm sure like he gets so much practice because like that's probably his audience like pretty much any single time he gives a concert.
Yeah, he has so many fans in China. I mean, you know how many people there is.
Yeah.
I could only look at him from up high there, and like he's really really small, but like he was doing all these stunts like flying around, but I can only see like an unsized a human just, yeah, flopping around. But still, it was really cool.
No, yeah, 80,000 people. That's like, you know, but if they just decided to like march towards, you know, one city, they could probably take over the city, you know.
Yeah.
But I guess 80,000
Beijing is ours.
For China is not that much, right? 80,000 for China, like according to
Chinese. I mean, yeah, if you think about it.
But like for a concert, that's huge.
Yeah, like if you think about it, they could probably just take over Easton.
Oh yeah,
well,
easily.
They definitely have more people than the whole of Easton. You know, like during 2008 Beijing Olympics, there's a bird's nest stadium, and I think during 2012 he was having a concert there as well. It was so big. Like if you ever watched Olympics from that year, you would know.
I've seen that one. We would watch it during summer, just like it would be too hot, and in Turkey would be at the perfect time from 1 to 3 or something like that, and we would just like go in, watch people swimming, and then we would go and swim ourselves. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. But not this year's Olympics. This year's Olympics, I could not see anything.
I didn't see anything either.
Yeah, it's just, you know, you get so busy and like, right. I don't know. Where were you this summer?
I was in Germany.
True.
That was Bonn, right?
Bonn, Germany. It was an interim trip.
With the Professor Lem Pfaffelberger? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
And like 10 other students from our college. It was an awesome trip. Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Uh-huh. Yeah, your profile picture was pretty cool.
Did I see that?
It's like with the Berlin Wall, right?
Yeah,
you're on one side of the Berlin Wall, right. And your friend is on the other side, and then it's like this artistic shot.
I was at East Side Gallery, and I was on the East German on the east side of Germany, so like people definitely connected that with my communist roots. it was a very fun time.
Did you, when I was in Berlin, we went to this tour that went through the tunnels that people actually built to cross from one side to the other side. Did you? It was amazing.
It was really cool.
And the guy had the most beautiful blazer jacket I've ever seen.
Okay. One piece of memory from that.
No, like I am gonna like find that blazer jacket, you know, even if I'm 60 years old, and I'm gonna go through those tunnels with that blazer.
You gotta have dreams.
But those tours were amazing, you know, they were expensive, but at the same time, you know, it was wonderful, you know, the people were like history majors, like students, people who are really interested in what they're doing, not like doing it just because, you know,
because of
money or
I know.
And you know, in Europe they have a lot of like free tours, donation based.
Actually, my professor was talking about Berlin Wall today, because she said that she was probably the only person at Lafayette right now that was there when the Berlin Wall fell. Professor Van Wall. She's an IA professor. She's really awesome. She really likes my papers too. Like tells me that I write the best papers in class.
Oh, I gotta read some.
Casual. She was like talking about how basically she saw the Berlin Wall collapse, and like how people would party for days and days and drink and be happy like insanely happy.
Yeah.
And she was talking about how like Europe has built a wall again as the refugee crisis has sort of overwhelmed Europe. And so like from the collapse of Berlin Wall to the wall kind of being built again, especially by Eastern European countries, it's like really sad for her to see in this like 26 years.
That's actually very interesting how
I feel like people might not realize it, but history is like a cycle going over and over again. This refugee crisis have been a few times definitely not.
Now, I think it's really like there's a lot of like fundamental things that in especially today's society that people are very have tendency to, you know, we were talking about like genocides today, and you know, it's very interesting how people can be convinced to kill like an entire race, like how do you convince someone to do that, you know? It's just incredible how strong these ideals are, like nationalism and such, and like you know, back like 1,000 years ago there was like religious wars, even now, you know,
even now, I mean,
a lot of wars, crazy. And but it's actually really interesting how the Berlin Wall, like literally, you know, it was like 1989 and that's, you know, all of our parents were living back then. Uh-huh. And
yeah.
That it is a crazy event, you know, like how people were being killed and like how it went on until 89. And yeah. I don't know, it's just so recent.
It's just so hard to imagine, especially yeah. when you're there. It's just hard for you to imagine that, oh, back then people couldn't cross from
yeah.
here. And they had such a huge separation zone, so you can't cross from there. If you ever do, people will shoot at you. So
exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get exactly what you mean. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, actually, about history being sort of like this cycle, I read in another class history being described as the autobiography of a madman, and I like that a lot.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, history is just full of this... things that we like look back and we're like, how are people crazy or stupid enough to do that? And then
yeah.
we look at like what's going on today and the same kind of things are done today too. So mm-hmm. like I'm sure our like grandchildren, they're alive, like they will look back at this time and they will be like, oh, how could have our grandparents lived in such crazy
yeah.
times? But right now we don't really like perhaps
think about it. We don't
realize.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know, when you think about all these issues, like even 9/11, you know, that was so recent, or like
yeah.
all these refugee crises, you know, the other day there was like a boat of Africans and just like half of
yeah.
them were dead in the boat,
right.
and that those are just absolutely crazy, you know, but I think like most of these things kind of will be fixed with education, I think, you know, instead of like I think that that's what I believe in. You know, at least I am hopeful.
I don't know. Honestly, I'm very, very skeptical about the notion of progress. But we can talk about that later. Like, let's play the song and let's continue the
yeah.
conversation after the song.
No, it's just, this is such a group that, like, we could have a conversation for probably 4 or 5 hours.
Because I
yeah.
think if I started explaining why I'm skeptical of progress, like, this could get very long.
No,
so
yeah,
let's
like,
just play
we were in
song.
Quad today
right.
and we started talking for 5 minutes and we talked about these, like, a lot of 3-4 different topics
uh-huh.
in for an hour, then we were like, okay, we gotta go back and do
yeah.
Oh, that's amazing.
Oh yeah, I'm not gonna say anything more.
I mean, the first song's title was Earth Rotation and Self Rotation. I feel like it tied back to what we were talking
right.
about,
mm-hmm.
although it's a Chinese song, but the title of it is
like
actually
it.
Relevant.
Very philosophical.
But yeah. So just now it was a kind of quieter song by Li Hong. Now I want to play a song that's because Li Hong is a pop star. He also tried to tie Western style back to Chinese style. So this one, in this song, Julia, you can see more of Li Hong's amazing, like versatile musical instrument ability, and his how he used hip hop in Chinese music as well. Okay, so let's play this.
Okay,
Julia.
每次都是这样 是你的感觉已无所谓，就让我把爱收回。
Third and fourth. Okay. Julian.
I like that a lot. That was so much fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I was showing Kemal and Tamar this music video, and they saw how young and handsome this.
Yeah, he's really handsome.
And I was like, there is no way that handsome guy is 40 years old, but this was like a
he
way.
He was 23. He was like,
doing college. Video.
He was 1 year older than I am right now.
So you have 1 year to get
that handsome. That's a big challenge there.
Nah.
And learn Chinese and become
just
a
give up.
You're fine.
So, Julia, who's Julia?
I'm guessing, because you know, the singers, they never tell you about the stories actually behind these the songs. So I'm guessing this maybe some relationship that he had before, but he didn't tell his audience about who this person actually is.
No, I can understand that. Yeah, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of songs are kind of made with that mindset.
Honestly, most songs,
a lot of
I think,
poetry, a lot of songs.
Honestly, I think if there was no love, there would probably not be maybe 90% of poetry and songs that we have today would probably never have been written.
Yeah.
Actually, this makes sense from the singer's point of view as well. Imagine if he tells you what the story is, then it becomes very specific and narrow. So you kind of limit your audience. But if you don't tell people, then everybody can interpret in their own way. And
they can relate it to their own life. Yeah, and for example, something that they may have had with someone else, and you know, that makes them feel more close to the song.
Yeah,
which is really cool.
Yeah, sometimes to quench my thirst, I would just go to a website that's called Genius, where people crowdsource their ideas about the song, and they interpret the song in their way, and share links about how this singer or this musician have shared about their life before, and they're trying to interpret from their point of view. I think it's really cool.
Especially completely agree. You know, for example, a lot of Turkish poetry kind of focuses on some emotions that you feel rather than it talks about the person at the same time, but you just know that emotion, mm-hmm. and like you relate to it, you know, like when he, you know, maybe for example, in there's one, this one poetry, and he talks about mm-hmm. how his love is similar to getting up in the middle of the night and drinking water from the tap, the cold water.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And like, you know, he finds a similarity between uh-huh. those two, and like mm-hmm. as someone who's grew up in Turkey, I know that feeling, just getting up and drinking cold water from the tap. And you know, it's amazing how you can relate to that, and like I think that's what this song does as well, you know.
Yeah, actually during the fall break I went to UCLA and I sat in a class. It's a it's a comparative literature class, but mm-hmm. during that class they happened to be talking about Rumi and mm-hmm. his Masnavi.
Yeah.
I've never read that, but I was just sitting there with my friend and reading from her laptop. It was amazing how you interpret from the stories that the Rumi wanted to deliver to you. I feel like I need to definitely put in more effort into reading.
Poetry is amazing, you know. We would talk with Abdul quite a lot last year mm-hmm. during last year's shows. He would like mention Rumi, and I would uh-huh. we would mention a Turkish poet from and we would have like we would read a little bit from each.
Wow. Yeah,
because it's so nice.
Also, I think it's so much more difficult to understand poetry when it's like translated into another language, and also when the language that you read that you're reading the poem in is not your native language. Because I think like no matter how amazing an English language poem is, I never get as strong of a emotional like reaction as I get to Georgian poems.
Yeah,
I completely agree.
I mean, Georgian is my the language that I get the most emotionally in.
I also think that, you know, some languages are more expressive about some emotions, and that's where the difference comes in. And that's why I actually really want to learn like Mandarin or like, you know, Korean or something like that, so I can actually kind of have a feeling of that culture as well. Because, you know, I've read a lot of English poetry, I've read some Spanish, you know, Pablo Neruda and stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, because of the structure of the language, you know, you can actually kind of see the similarity, you know, French and Spanish and even English, but mm-hmm. Turkish poetry is just so different, and I'm sure Georgian is similar.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of comes with the language, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I could talk about like, you know, these things for hours, so
maybe one time instead of playing music we should like read poems.
Translating poetry. I actually used to translate poetry a little bit from Turkish to English.
Wow.
And it is so much fun. I would really really recommend, you know, trying to translate something, because without like unconsciously you kind of translated in a way so that the reader would understand it in your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And when you actually make your friends read it, and when they actually feel what you have felt, of course, you know, it's not same as like reading it in the original language, but like it still makes you very happy, and like it gives you a feeling of, you know, I was able to make them feel what I felt from this poem, you know, which is actually wonderful, you know. So I really would recommend, at least for your friends, you know, you could translate, because I know that, you know, everyone that I know is never going to learn Turkish, you know. So by translating it to them, they're not losing anything. I'm not losing anything. So I think in terms of that, you know, it's quite wonderful. So there can be parts translation can be strong. Also with like novels, I love translated poems.
Yeah, I've done that. I've never translated poems, but actually in Georgia, like for high school, there are these contests in which people can submit their translated work in English.
Mm-hmm.
And I won that like 2 times in a row.
Wow.
One time I translated my friend's story into English, and one time I translated a story of like a famous contemporary Georgian author.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a really amazing experience, and like made me so much more aware of what the story actually was about.
Yeah.
Like, all these deeper, subtler things.
Yeah, for example, I'm gonna say one more thing. Mm-hmm. There's this movie, In the Mood for Love, by Carby Wong.
I watched it, yeah.
You guys know that movie? Okay.
It's an amazing film.
That is like one of my favorite movies all time.
It's
just
so beautiful,
so amazing. And like the first time I watched it, I was just like so amazed, and I was just mind blown. And the second time I watched it, I paid so much more attention to the expressions of the, you know, the actors, and like mm-hmm. the how things were, you know, like the timeline of the events. And like, it's so amazing how accurate the expressions are, and like how accurate those little, you know, nuances of movement, like actions, behaviors. It's so amazing. Mm-hmm. I the moment I finished that movie mm-hmm. the first time, I was like, I just want to watch that again right now. Like, I think, you know, same with the poetry and novels as well. When you read it the second time, you have such a better understanding of it. For example, there's Nerdwriter 1 on YouTube, and like he has exactly this analysis of this scene from Vertigo, mm-hmm. and I have seen that movie, but like when I've seen his analysis of the scene, I was just like, whoa, this is actually amazing. Yep. You know, and there's just like so much thinking behind all these things, and you know,
you never discover that before. You know, I remember in The Mood for Love, he analyzed that too. He was mm-hmm. talking about the framing of mm-hmm. the movie. I just realized so much more when I after I watched something and then talked to other people. So I feel Nerdwriter 1 actually came to Lafayette last year for last semester for mm-hmm. TEDx. Like, he's very smart. Like,
I know that he came.
You were there.
Because I couldn't come. But like I know how setting that up. Uh-huh. Actually, I learned about Nerdwriter from Ha. So
I saw you eating there. So you just came to eat. Oh, I remember.
I was gonna join. Uh-huh. It's just like I had something that I had to do. I had a meeting or something.
All right.
Yeah, like I wanted to listen to it. It's just uh-huh. like I couldn't. And you know, but this year hopefully.
I feel bad. I don't remember his original name, like his real name. I don't remember.
He's gonna be the Nerdwriter 1.
Yep. I just thought it's so cool that he came.
I
have no idea who this is, so
you should definitely check him out. He has a YouTube channel.
Nerdwriter 1.
I think, you know, he's doing a lot of mainstream stuff as well, but like I especially like the videos where he talks about these movies that are more like uh-huh. Classic or like well established, so I really like those ones.
Also, it's so hard to find people at Lafayette to watch these good movies and not the stuff that is like just available
on
Netflix for like easy consumption.
I know,
but it's amazing that we just like connected over in The Mood for Love like right now.
Yeah, two people are just sitting right in front of you, Tamar.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. But I guess like it's easier to find that within the international students community, because let's admit that a lot of good films come from outside of the U.S.
But like maybe the some people don't like to watch movies mm-hmm. with subtitles.
Yeah,
so
a
that
lot of people.
Just closes a lot of doors.
Right,
but that's just such a
I know exactly what you mean. I haven't watched this. To be honest, but I remember talking to you a long time ago about it, and I always knew it was a good movie.
Because I was like such an, you know, I was so crazy about that movie because it was just so amazing to me, you know. It was so different, you know. Just anyways, I'm not gonna talk about it.
Yeah, I'm gonna watch it.
All right, mm-hmm. and like I've been watching like a lot of international movies over the summer. I watched like Iranian, I watched Chinese, you know, I watched Korean, I watched you know, some European stuff, French.
You should. There's this really good Georgian film that came out maybe 3 years ago. Uh-huh. You should watch that.
I would love to. Yeah.
I think the library might have it.
Like the Iranian movie that I watched, Taste of Cherry, was amazing. It's so good.
The only recent Iranian film I've seen is The Divorce.
Oh, mm-hmm. I did that too. Yeah.
I've heard of that one. This one was more. So this was about a guy who wants to suicide, and you know, in Iran, it's forbidden to suicide because it's against the religion, and like he's trying to find someone to bury his body. But nobody wants to bury his body because they don't want to be part
in
of
trouble,
this action, which is going to be against the religion. And, you know, you just see him talk to people, and, like, mm-hmm. he never tells you why he wants to suicide, or, like, he never, like, you never know what his problems are, and he doesn't even seem like a person who would have a problem, but you know, it's just so subtle, you know, the atmosphere in the movie. It kind of reminded me of Winter Sleep. It's a Turkish movie. It's really amazing. I would really recommend it. It's 3 hours, though. It's just so amazing, though.
if it's truly amazing, 3 hours doesn't...
It's just so crazy because, like, he has this, like, level of tension throughout the movie. And, like, you feel like the tension is going to get resolved, but it never gets resolved. Oh, and, like, it always builds up. You know, it builds up and builds up and, like, doesn't get resolved. It's kind of like, you know, if you ever read Kafka, like Franz Kafka, like in Metamorphosis, you know.
I was just reading this.
It's just, you know, especially the first time I was reading it, I was like, when is this going to get better? And like, there's always that little hope, you know, he never like gets rid of the hope completely. So you always read it thinking that something is gonna happen, but you know, it just gets worse and worse. And the trial was the same way, and that book is amazing. Okay, I've talked too much.
Okay, let's listen to the next song.
Okay, since we're talking about movies, Lee Hoon is actually also an actor.
Mm. Wow, Lee Hoon is like a god.
Yeah, very versatile. He claims that he plays like 18
Is he straight? No.
Oh my god, I need to talk to you more about this, but never mind.
Well, I'm straight, but so let's not have a confusion there.
Kamal just declared. Okay. You know Ang Lee, right? Ang Lee is very famous. He's a director for Brokeback Mountain. So he directed this movie called Last Caution, and it's an erotic espionage thriller film. But Lee Hoon was not part of the erotic scene. It was about back when China was still occupied by Japan. It's a story back then, but this he was so much into the film that after the movie he was actually kind of depressed, and that's when he had the inspiration for the following song. It's about a fallen leaf going back to its roots.
I already like that.
And he plays violin in it. So let me.
Okay, I love violin, by the way.
I think we don't even have to play the song
in order to appreciate it.
It's too good of a situation. Where is he located right now?
probably in America, actually.
Oh damn.
Oh, and he does a lot of collaboration with Wong Fu Productions. Maybe some people know about them. They are an Asian American video production group. They're very active on YouTube as well. Okay, let me find this.
Actually, like Chinese entertainment is kind of moving into Hollywood. There's this one guy who's buying like the companies that are about to go bankrupt, so like he's planning to use those to kind of like move into the Hollywood. So we may be starting to see more like more intercultural real movies, you know. Today I shared a video on Facebook if you guys but it's about like white washing in Hollywood. It is it's just so hilarious how people white people play all these roles that are like Native American, you know, Persian, Egyptian.
Emma Stone playing Asian.
Yeah, exactly, you know.
Or like men playing transgender women.
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly. So it's very interesting.
And straight girls playing lesbians. That's a huge thing.
We'll talk about that.
Okay. So, okay, I found this song. Now we can start.
Okay, let's go.
Mm-hmm. 季节叫做寂寞，背包塞满了家用，路就这样开始走，日不见太阳的暖，夜不见月光的蓝，不得不选择寒冷的开始，留下只拥有遗憾。命运的安排，遵守自然的逻辑，谁都无法解谜底。远离家乡，不胜唏嘘，幻化成秋叶，而我却像落叶归根，坠在你心间。几分忧郁，几分孤单，都心甘情愿。我的爱像落叶归根，家唯独在你身边。也叫做寂寞，背包塞满了家用，路就这样开始走，日不见太阳的暖，夜不见月光的蓝，不得不选择寒冷的开始，留下只拥有遗憾。守自然的逻辑，谁都无法解谜底。远离家乡，无声唏嘘，幻化成秋叶，而我却像落叶归根，坠在你心间。几分忧郁，几分心甘情愿，我的爱像落叶归根，家唯独在你身边。但愿陪你找回错遗失的永恒，当我开口你却沉默，只剩一张
How did you like that?
This was amazing. I love Lee Han. He seems so cool. He plays the violin.
He can just play.
He's handsome. He sings really well. I loved the video. It was so nice. And this whole idea of like the fallen leaf going back into the ground, like I think that's especially important because right now it's fall and the leaves are actually falling and we see them like going back to the ground and the trees are kind of like getting naked and lonely, but like at some point they will get new leaves.
Aww.
And well, over the summer I actually went through a breakup and like right now I still feel very much as a like naked tree, but I don't know, like slowly I'm sure that I don't know, like all the leaves, they still go somewhere, like into the ground, and I don't know, I think it's like just important to realize that like these kinds of things, like just as nature changes seasonally, I think human beings undergo these emotions and these cycles, and like of
they
course
make you better.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's, I think it's just only natural.
Maybe you need a hug after this show. But yeah, I was actually wondering about like how you would like, you know, I understand like when you think about it in terms of tree, it's very poetic and like the, but like if you think about the human nature, would it be just like that cycle of emotions that, you know, like you feel like, you know, being happy, maybe having like a big problem in your life, being depressed, and I don't know, like what would be the leaf in your life that falls back to its root? You know, like what was his case maybe?
I feel like in this song, he's mainly talking about the falling leaf is oneself.
Mm.
And then going back to the ground, going back to the roots is basically whoever that's close to you.
Mm.
And in this song, he's saying, 家唯独在你身边, which it means it's only home when it's next to you.
Mm.
So it really touches the bottom of my heart. And obviously in every person's life you have a few people that's really dear to you.
Yeah.
And I think he means you always need to go back to them and like find
right. Yeah,
closure.
That's actually hugely important. And
yeah.
No, and matter, I actually talked like this is so important because like I think especially after these hardships, like we need to remember that we have like these close friends that we can always talk to, and like people who care about us, like we're not exactly alone.
Thank you, Tamar, for being in my life.
Yeah, and I was actually gonna say the same thing to both of you because like I talked about this breakup to both of you at various points like in the beginning of the year, and that was like hugely helpful.
Well, I understand your pain.
We'll always be there.
That's
sweet. Yeah, what were we going to talk about? We were going to talk about something.
You were going to tell us a story of some...
you really want to hear it?
Yeah.
Okay, Louis Aragon is a French poet. I'm sure I've told this story on the radio before. It's just like, I read this in high school and it's, you know... Okay. So, Louis Aragon is a French poet and one of my favorites. His poems are usually about his love towards Elsa Triolet, whom he married when she was 32 and he was 30 years old. In Paris they met, and Elsa Triolet is a writer and he was one of the most famous poets of the time, and they had this marriage for 30 years until Elsa Triolet died. And he has written so many poems for her, just so many beautiful poetry. You know, there's this one poem called Elsa's Eyes that's this just talks about how deep her eyes are and like how he leaned forward to drink from them.
Oh.
It's just so beautiful. I'm not gonna translate it, but like please do read it. And you know, there are so many more. He was famous, like their love was famous, you know, their love was the love and the time at the time. And you know, they had built a house for these, you know, artistic people for them to visit in near Paris. And you know, actually one of the Turkish poets had visited their house. It has like a little river, like artificial. It's just so beautiful.
Oh,
it's just
so nice.
Such an artistic place. So like, you know, their love was like very strong. And when Elsa Triolet dies, you know, Louis Aragon gets very sad and he finds her journal. And when he's reading her journal, she has written stuff that were related to, for example, she wrote about how she wanted all men to desire her, how she wanted more attention, and she talked about how all the men she has admired and had been with. So she has been
like before him, or like at the same
at this during there this like huge love. He, you know, while he was writing these poems, she had been with other people because she wanted to feel wanted, desired, and think about how devastated this, you know, Louis Aragon was after that. You know, there are like these interviews on YouTube, like two of them on TV. They're talking about all, you know, all these wonderful things, and then, you know, think about finding a journal like that. And
so sad.
Actually, after that, he, I believe, he becomes gay.
Wait, this is not a. So he becomes gay at that point.
Yeah, he actually has like more, like, you know, male. Lovers later in his life.
I guess the phrasing should be that, like, perhaps he always had like some bisexual inclinations.
No, yeah,
but
I'm just saying that, you know, it's like it's a interesting turnout of events.
Yeah, I
but
get
like
you.
The story itself is very sad, and like when I read it, I was just like, wow, you know, just so dumbfounded.
When you love, you think about it as unrequited. So, but when you actually find out that it's only one-sided, it gets really
it's very complicated, traumatic. You know, like these emotions and like relationships and all these hardships, being able to like communicate with people, just so many things. But you know, that's also what makes it beautiful, because you need to have a deep connection with the person. But I'm not the person to talk about love here, so but yeah, you know, there are more stories. I can tell next week.
Yeah,
I have some stories from like Turkish poets.
Maybe you should have like a love story every week for those who are a bit
all this
unloved.
Unloved or a bit, I don't know, too romantic.
Aww.
If you're having wine at your house, or hopefully not in your car, but by yourself and listening to us, please call us.
Does this ever get through? Because I was once a member of the audience and I tried to call.
Did you? I called last week.
I never got through. Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Our phone number is 610. I'm repeating, 610-330-5316. And I've called last week, and we actually did the intro together.
Oh,
I was like, you're listening to it. Then Tamar knew exactly what to say.
Exactly, yeah.
So, you know, it was beautiful, and we had a really nice, fun conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, maybe the thing is, like, when you call, it doesn't actually ring, because, you know, we're talking, and, like, you don't want to just, like, in the back. So, you know, you have to check the phone screen, and you know, it's less professional, I guess.
So people just call away, come on, answer.
Well, I will answer you next time. You should call.
So are we gonna play the next song?
Yes.
Yeah, let's
play
one
more. The
next
song that I have in mind is actually named "Let Go of Your Heart." So I feel like it's the right timing to let this sink in.
I'm sorry I talked so much, by the way.
No, it's okay.
You have requested the story, that's why.
Yeah, it's fine.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Okay, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
传人2000，唯一不可思议之后。 为什么抱着怀疑，爱并不是都自私自利，虽然难免一些坏记忆，让爱情失去吸引力，不再有趣，只是还是要过下去，不管是笑或哭泣，所以别紧张后期，其实生活充满惊喜。Yeah, yeah, 跟规则道别。Yeah, yeah, 跟我的感觉。Yeah, yeah, 跟过去道别，跟从此道别，跟着我的感觉。解开自己，领带太紧太难以呼吸，重复每一天整齐划一，到底你是独立个体还是机器，不管是谁都有权利选择心情高低，所以快跳去顶替，明天的精彩可以预期。 Yeah, yeah, 跟规则道别。 Yeah, yeah, 跟我的感觉。 Yeah, yeah, 跟过去道别，跟都是道别，跟着我的感觉。
Okay, so that was Let Go of Your Heart. Do you want to explain the song a bit more?
So I was just talking to Kimal and Tamar about this kind of style by Lee Hom, because Lee Hom tried to bring hip-hop to Chinese songs, and he titled this type of song as Chinked Out, which has a negative connotation in the word chink. So a lot of people were asking him why he did that. And he said, we should give this word a positive connotation. And that's like to not get hung up on it. So he has a lot of rap songs are like in this kind of style. So I just wanted to show you one of them, and maybe you can explore more if you want to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I want to use this opportunity to let everyone who is listening know, like, if you can, when you see me, please say something that is offensive to me. I want to have like an experiment where I want to see how offended I can get. I'm not gonna be sad or anything. I'm just like, I want every single person to like try to offend me, please.
Wow.
No, I just want to try it, you mm-hmm. know. It's just we're so sensitive about all these topics, and like, you know, I want to find things that I am particularly, you know, sensitive about, because, you know, people are just so sensitive, and like people are scared to talk about all these things, and like even when you're with some people, they are not comfortable near you just because of your background and such. I don't know, it's just like I want to experience that sensitivity somewhat. But yeah, that I just wanted to use the opportunity, you know, to... Now, chink probably wouldn't work for me, but, you know, try to find something.
I mean, people can also just come up to Tamar or Kimal about how great the show is.
that's
I feel like they need this kind
of
encouragement.
That's what I would prefer, actually. I don't like to be offended unless it's, like, something that...
I want to be offended. Please, offend me. But you can also praise us, too, you know. But, you know, don't just, like, insult. You know, try to, like... find things that are, you know, like, say for example your forehead is too large, or like I don't like your hair, or like you dress like a douchebag, I don't know, like something that is, you know, legitimate but, you know, offensive.
So you're saying that you do dress like a douchebag?
I'm not saying I dress like a douchebag, but
I'm just kidding. No, I think you dress well, actually.
Thank you.
No, I think it's really hard to find, like, well-dressed people in general at Lafayette.
Shots fired.
Especially well-dressed men, because, like, you look at most men and they dress in, like, oh gosh. Like
sweatpants and shirts.
Also, what's up with the really long socks? Like, I hate those long socks.
I feel like you just lost half of your audience.
Honestly, I don't think
like
guys
they probably
long
go to the shop and they're like,
listening to me anyway.
Give me the longest sock you have. Like, longest socks.
And I just also I hate those like baseball caps turned backwards. And like someone was telling me yesterday that they saw a guy like being outside and talking on the phone, and he had his baseball cap turned backwards, and he was saying in the phone that, oh, it's so sunny today, I'm gonna get burned. And it's like, instead of turning his head, like, so that the head would protect him, he, like, continued walking with his head backwards.
No, I could tell you so many stories where people are stupid, but, like, let's kind of end the show because I can see... I forgot her name. Anyways.
Yeah.
But you're listening to...
Wait, so are we... Like, yeah. Wait, before we listen to anything, are we listening to any last songs, or are we just ending?
No,
right,
I think
now?
we have to end. What time is it? Yeah, because it's been past 12.
Oh,
but
okay.
You know, we can listen to these songs another time.
So you are listening to
W
J
R
H
104.9
FM
Lafayette College Radio
Eastern
Pennsylvania.
Yay.
And this was Plus 90 with Kemal Disiz
and Tamar Jekeli.
And we have a wonderful guest. We had a wonderful guest today. Tonight, I am very happy that you came. Like,
we
I
had
am,
amazing conversations.
I had not been this excited about a guest for such a long time. So thank you very much.
Been here.
Sorry to my previous guests.
No, I mean,
you listen too much.
No, it's just
you're
you know,
wonderful too.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just today we had a really nice conversation. Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I didn't mean it that way.
Of course, I understand.
I didn't mean to offend people. But, you know, I just wanted to express my enthusiasm and appreciation. Thank you very much for coming here.
Thank you for inviting me.
And
good night, everyone. And
hope you join us next week, 11 p.m. to 12 p.m. Thursdays, plus 90. For now, maybe we should change the name of the show.
Yeah.
Have
please
a good
join
night.
Them, even if you wear baseball
maybe,
cap.
Maybe we should call it like the Lonely Hearts Club.
Well,
anyway,
yeah,
we'll
I like that point,
it.
Actually. Don't wear a baseball cap if you're coming to our
yeah.
No. I mean, exactly on that point.
Okay, good night.
Yeah, good night. Bye-bye.
Bye.